Where you are? Today's shiur is Daf Ayin Vav, and we're going to begin on Daf Ayin Hey on the base, about 8 lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Yod Batim Zelif Nimazel. You have 10 houses lined up, which is diagram 243 on page 81. As we see, we have here a row of houses, one behind each other. So says Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, if you have these 10 houses, one behind each other, Pnimi Noisnes Aruvai V'dayim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, the most innermost house, the house furthest from the Chatzar, has to contribute to the Erev, and that's all. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afil Chitzin, even the outer one. So first, before we start learning the Gemara, let's understand why Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav says that only the Pnimi has to contribute to the Erev. The reason is, as we've learned, that only houses have to contribute to an Erev. A Beis Shaar, a gatehouse, a house that's only used as an entrance to another house, does not have to contribute to the Erev. So when we look at our diagram, all the other houses are gatehouses. They're just exits or entrances, whatever you want to call it, for the Pnimi to be able to get to the Chatzar. And since that's all that they serve, they don't have to independently contribute to the Erev. Rabbi Yochanan says, Afil Chitzon. So the way you simply learn like Rabbi Yochanan, he's saying that every one of the houses have to contribute to the Erev. Ask the Gemara, Chitzon Beisharhu. Certainly, the last house closest to the Chatzar is certainly in the status of a Beishar, because all the other houses have to pass through that house to get to the Chatzar. So how could you think, ask the Gemara to Rabbi Yochanan, that house should have to also contribute to the Erev? Answer the Gemara, you're right. This is the way Rashi learns the Gemara. There is no question that this last house doesn't have to contribute to the Erev. Truthfully, none of the houses that are served as a Beis Shaar have to contribute to the Erev. What is the machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan? It's the Chitzon Shel Pnimi, which is labeled here. The house right after the Pnimi. And what's the machlokes? The machlokes is like this. From my kumafli, master of Beis Shaar, the Yochid B'Shmei Beis Shaar. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav says that the Chitzon Shel Pnimi, for how many houses does it serve as a Beis Shaar? Only for one, for the Pnimi. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav says that's enough to be considered a Beis Shaar. Or Masover, whereas Rabbi Yochanan holds, Loi Shmei Beis Shaar. Since it only serves as a Beis Shaar for one house, the Pnimi, that doesn't give it the status of a Beis Shaar. To have the status of a Beis Shaar, it has to serve more houses. But everybody agrees that the other houses are certainly Beis Shaar, and therefore don't have to independently contribute to the Erev. Rabbi Yerucham has a Rishon, has a different shot in the sugya that we're talking about the last house, but we learn the Gemara like Rashi. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avu, Amar Rav, Beis Chatzeris for Gimel Batim Beinayim, which is diagram 244. You have two chatzeris, and then you have three houses between these two chatzeris. And what happens is like this. The people of the chatzar on the right want to make an Erev, and where they're going to put the actual bread, they're going to put it in the middle house of these three houses in the middle. Similarly, the chatzar on the left wants to make an Erev and put their Erev in the middle house. Says the Gemara, Beis Chatzeres v'Gimel Bat Menayim. Zeh Ba Derech Zeh, the person on the right goes through a house. V'Nois Ten Ruv V'Zeh, puts the Erev in the middle house. V'Zeh Ba Derech Zeh, and the person on the left goes through the house next to him. V'Nois Ten Ruv V'Zeh, and will put the Erev into the middle house. So what happens here, says the Gemara, Zeh Nasa Beis Shaar L'Zeh, V'Zeh Nasa Beis Shaar L'Zeh. So the two outer houses don't have to independently contribute to the Erev, because they're Beis Shaars. They're the way that the people from the Chatzar get to the middle house. So since they're the way that the people from the outer Chatzar get to the middle house, they don't have to independently contribute to the Erev. And Tsoi Havle Bayi Shemenichem Be'Erev, the middle house is the house where the Erev will be deposited. And as we learned, and will learn in Mitzvah Shem, then the house where the Erev is put, that house doesn't have to contribute to the Erev. And the reason is very simple. Because what's the point of the Erev? The point of the Erev is where I put my food is where I live. The person living in the middle house doesn't have to prove that he's living there. He's living there. So what will happen is that no one from the houses will have to contribute to the Erev. So none of the houses will end up in this situation having given any bread, only the people from the Chatzeres. Now Tosfos makes a point. Tosfos says that the Gemara could have said a different story. Let's say instead of the Beis Shar being the two houses on the right and the left, the two extreme houses, and the house that they're going to put the Erev in will be in the middle, we could have had a different story. We could have had that they want to put the Erev, let's say, in the house on the right. So the two other houses will be a Beis Shar for the people from the Chatzar on the left to get to it, and we'll have the exact same situation. The Gemara chose this situation. The Ran says that we're dealing with a situation that every one of these houses, besides having a Beis Shar being used as a way to get to the middle house, also has a direct opening to the Rishus HaRabim. And only if you actually use it as Beis Shar does it get the status of a Beis Shar. The Meiri says, Halacha L'maisa. What's going to be the Halacha if it's only, and Mr. Brewer quotes this Meiri, it's only a Beis Shar for one day of the week. In other words, you only need it to be a Beis Shar for Shabbos. The rest of the week you're not using it. From here he says that a Beis Shar for one day of the week is also considered a Beis Shar. And he says you don't have to have explicit permission to make it into a Beis Shar. The fact that the people allow such a setup gives it the status of a Beis Shar, and unless they protest, none of these three houses would have to contribute to the Erev themselves. Now we have another situation. Baruch lo Rechava lo Rabbanan. Rechava asked the Rabbanan, he quizzed them with the following question. There is actually no diagram for this, so we're going to have to somewhat improvise. Beis Chatzeres or Beis Batim B'nei. Let's still look at diagram 244. But instead of having three houses in the middle, we're only going to have two houses in the middle. Beis Chatzeres or Beis Batim B'nei. What happens here? Zeh Baruch Derech Zeh V'Nosna Reva B'Zeh V'Zeh Baruch Derech Zeh V'Nosna Reva B'Zeh. What happened is like this. The people on the right decided that they want to make the house, again, we're imagining that there are only two houses in the middle, that they want the house on the left, the house further from them, to be the house where they're depositing the Erev. What's going to be the house that intervenes, that interrupts between their chatzar and their house? It's going to be for them a Beis Shar. The exact same thing happens the other way. The people on the left want that their Erev should be in the house further from them to the right, and that the house interrupting between them and that house should be a Beis Shar. So essentially, each house here is both a bias and a Beis Shar at the same time. It's a Beis Shar, again, the house viewing from the right side. The first house is a Beis Shar, and the second house will be a bias. And I viewed from the left, the first house will be a Beis Shar, and the second house will be a bias. And the Gemara's question is that going to be, are those Erevs going to be acceptable? And like Rashi speaks out, we're not speaking that they could carry from one chatzar to the other. They want to stay separate. They don't want to carry from each other. But will this be a legitimate situation? Kan Erev Oiloi. Will the Erev be effective or not? What's the shaila? Mi mashvil l'chabed the high bias l'chabed the high bias shar l'gabe high bias shar l'gabe high bias. That means like this. As we said a moment ago, every house here at the same time has two labels. It has the label of a bias and it has the label of a Beis Shar. And the Gemara's question is, can one house carry two labels? Amalei, Shneim Loikano Erev. The Erev will not be effective. Why? Manashach. I Beis Shar, Mashvislei. If you follow the status that it's a Beis Shar, so the halach is Hanoisin as a Ruba Beis Shar, Rechsad Ruma Pesas. If you deposit your Erev in a Beis Shar, and an Erev. E bias majorly. If you want to consider the bias, come about the bias, the bias, lomarively. Want to call it a bias? Leaving an Erev in a bias is certainly acceptable, but let's understand what happens here. The house on the right, again, viewing this picture, you're calling it a bias. Why is it calling it a bias? Because for the people on the left, chotzer, this is their bias. The halacha is that if there is a bias interrupting between the chotzer and the house where the Erev is, and that bias is not included in the Erev, that disqualifies the Erev. So since this house, again, let's look from the right side. This house on the right, for the people on the left, has the status of a bias, and the people on the right are not including that house in their Erev, so we have a problem where there's a bias interrupting between my chotzer and where my Erev is, and in such an interruption will disqualify the Erev. And the same thing works vice versa for the people on the left. And this is a very important halacha. You can't have a disqualified or a non-included Erev between you and your Erev. The halacha, the Martche says, is that let's say between you and your Erev is a karmelus. The Mar speaks about between you and your Erev a house that's not included. But the same thing the Mordechai says, that there would be a karmelus between you and your Erev, that a karmelus can't be included in the Erev, that would disqualify the Erev. And in fact, the Evin Oizer asks a gewaldige kasha. He says, the Isser to carry in a karmelus is Isser the Rabbonim. We're going to learn it in a moment again. When does the Erev have to be effective? The Erev has to be effective Bein HaShmoshes. The Isser to carry Bein HaShmoshes doesn't apply, because like God, we learned in the Gemara that if the only problem is with the Rabbonon, that doesn't affect the Erev from being acceptable. So ask the Evin Oizer, if there's only a karmelus interrupting between you and your Erev, why does that disqualify the Erev? The karmelus, it's only a Seder Rabbonon. So the Noid of Yehuda says, you're right, there's only a Seder Rabbonon. But what's the purpose of the Erev? The purpose of the Erev is to make one Rishus. One Rishus means that everything included has to be connected. If there's an area in my area that I want to include in the Erev that's not able to be included, that, not because there's an Isser, it just disqualifies it, because all the area covered has to be includable. That's the way Rabbi Yehuda learns. Rabbi Kivayga learns very nice. But Rabbi Kivayga first quotes a Machloikas Rishayim, Machloikas Ramam the Rosh. He says, what's the halacha if separating me from my Erev is a tree? And I have to climb up the tree to get to the Erev. Will the Erev be acceptable? Why? Because climbing on a tree is this Rabbanim. Emishtam Shem Be'ilam. So the Rambam says that's why the Erev is not good. The Rosh says the Erev is a good Erev. Why is the Erev a good Erev? Because the only Yisr is Yisr Rabbanim. Bein HaShmoshes, it's not a problem. And the Erev is a good Erev. And that's the way we pass in Shulchan Aruch. So ask Rabbi Kivayga, why by the Karmelis are we machmer and by the tree are we mekel? So Rabbi Kivayga says a beautiful teretz. He says the Isser Drabonim of a Karmelis, of a tree, has nothing to do with carrying. It's a side Isser. There's an Isser Chazal where God is an Eim Shtam Shem Be'ilah. And since it's only Isser Drabonim and Bein HaShmoshes, it doesn't take effect, so that doesn't disturb the Erev from being effective. What is the Isser to carry a Karmelis? This is carrying. What is the purpose of an Erev? To allow you to carry. So you can't use, even though it's only Issa Drabonon, since the Issa Drabonon preventing the Erev from being effective is an Issa that affects carrying, even though it's only Drabonon, that won't let the Erev be effective. So that's why, if there's a Karmelus in between, yes, carrying in a Karmelus is only an Issa Drabonon, but since it's an Issa that affects carrying, that is an Issa that will disturb the Erev from being effective.
Rabbi Yehuda could have also added the tree with his
mouth. Right. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say again, the tree is not the same as, it could be included in the area. The tree doesn't disturb you. Now, ask the Gemara, so what are we saying here? That something can't have two labels at the same time. Ask the Gemara, or Mashnah Madarava, why is this different from what Rava Paskin? So we're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi. Domarav, Rashi says that this Gemara is talking about Erev Tchumen. Taisa says it's talking about Erev Chetzeres. Omlo Shnayim. Somebody, we learned when we learned the halacha about tchumim, that the person himself doesn't have to put the tchum. You could ask a shliach to put the tchum from you. Amle shnayim, two people told the shliach, save our reveling, do us a favor, go put an erev for us. And we know that the erev has to be put, that has to be effective in the shmeshes. Lech erev lo miboy joy, for one of them, we put down the erev from before Shabbos, from before Ben Shmoshes. Let's say Ben Shmoshes was from 4 to 4:15. And for all one, he put down it during Bein HaShmoshes, let's say at 4 or 5. For the person that the Erev was put down from by joy, his Erev was eaten up at 4:03. And the person that the Erev was put down at 4 or 5, Nechal Eruv Mishtechshech. His Erev was eaten up at after 4:15. Shneim Kanu Erev. Both of Erev are effective. Why? Because the person that put down the Erev during the day and it was eaten up, let's say, at 4:03, says that Dein HaShemashes was at 4:01. 4:02 was night already, so my Erev was effective. The person whose Erev was only put down at 4:05 says, no, then night is only 4:15, so my Erev was put down in time. Now here we have, it's a contradiction. Is it, was night at 4:02 or was night at 4:15? What did Gemara say? They're both Erev and are effective. So you see that you could take the same thing and schlep it in two different directions. Answers the Gemara. Hachi hashdi. You can't compare our situation to that situation. Hasaf, Safik Yomam, Safik Laila, Lamin Karamilsa. Those two Eruvim are not connected. Each Erev is a separate Erev. And since its Erev is a separate Erev, my Erev, I say, is effective because I say night was at 4:03. You say your Erev is effective because it's 4:15. They're two separate issues. Aval Hocha, Idol Rabbi High Bias, Lagabi the High Bias. Rashi explains, to call a house at the same time, to take the same house and call it a bayis and a beishar is a chuch of a tlul, is a joke, Rashi says. Is it a bayis or is it a beishar? And that's why here we have to be machmer and there we don't have to be machmer. Now this gemara is very relevant l'aloch l'maisa. Because sometimes, and people don't realize this, you go to a rav and you ask him a shayla and he's mekel. And then, yeah, because he takes a certain principle. But if you were going to follow the same principle for the next person, it should be a chumrah. And the next person, he's mekel again to. How could he do it? Because the two shaylas are not the same shaylah. And each shaylah is viewed individually. That's why by the person with the Erev, it's two separate shaylas. And for every person, we paskin individually, that's kemekel. That's what the Prichadish says. The Dvar Avram wants to say that maybe this is not a raya for all over, that maybe this is specifically said in our Gemara because we've learned many times halacha kemekel be'erev, so maybe specifically be'erev will mekel, but not everywhere else. But there are rayas that it's not that way because this that we say halacha kemekel be'erev is only be'erev chatzeres, and the way Rashi explains this Gemara is talking about erev tchumen, so it's nothing to do with halacha kemekel be'erev. So just because since the two shaylas are separate and it doesn't look like a joke by passing separately, it's no problem. Now, Tosfos. We explain the Gemara like Rashi. Tosfos explains that the Gemara is talking about Erev Chatzeres. That the Aloch is, the story Chai Adam explains, that the first Shabbos you're relying on Erev Chatzeres, the food has to be the Bein HaShemashes. And the story is the way we said the story. But the Pais can say a very interesting thing. If you're going to learn the Gemara is going by Erev Chatzeres, the Gemara is the same Gemara. Both Erev Chatzeres could still be effective with the same lomdus that the Gemara gave. But let's say you have one person that wants to rely on both Erev Chatzeres. That means you come with your what Reuven comes, he's the person that's Erev was eaten up by 4:03, and Shimon comes, his Erev was eaten by 4:15. And I want to eat by both, I want to be able to carry both Erev Chatzeres. That I can't do. Because if I feel that Reuven's Erev is effective, then obviously I believe that Shimon's is not, or vice versa. So to be able to carry it in both Chatzeres, that I wouldn't be able to do. Harun Lachador, Harun Lachador, Harun Lachador. The subject of the next perek is as follows. We know that you can make an Erev to carry, as we would say, two backyards. If you have two backyards next to each other, and you want to be able to carry from your backyard into your neighbor's backyard, you have to make an Erev. The subject of the Mishnah and the perek, as we get into it, Be'ezer Hashem, is sometimes you must make an Erev, sometimes you can't make an Erev, and sometimes you may make an Erev. That's the subject here. Says the Mishnah. Chaloin Harun Lachador. Chaloin Shebein Beis Chatzeres. Dalar Abdalar. If you have a window, you have the wall between the two Chatzeres that has a window in it, and the window is Dalar Abdalar, 4 Tfachim by 4 Tfachim. And it's important in way of introduction to this Mishnah, to this Gemara. A wall, a partition for Halacha, to be considered a partition, is a Sar Tfachim, 10 Tfachim. So if the window is b'toich hasara within 10 tefachim ma'arim shnayim, so that window can be considered an opening between the two chatzeris, so we can make an erev together. From rotz ma'arim nefer, we can make two separate erevs. We don't have to join, But if we want to join, the window could be viewed as a way that we could connect to each other, and since we could connect to each other, we can make an Erev together. And that halacha is obviously that, let's say I want to make an Erev with my neighbor because I have this window. I'm not limited to carry to my neighbor only through the window. Now I could carry over the wall also. The window has to be there to make us connected. But once we're connected, we're not limited to carry through the window. Let's say the window is below, is less than dalad adalad, or lemal miyud, or it's above 10 tefachim, above the ground. Then we have to stay separate because it's not considered that there's any opening between our chatzeres. Why, if the window is above 10 tefachim, can't it serve as an opening? Why if the window is above 10 tefachim, is the window not considered an opening? That's what it says in the Mishnah. Or lemal miyud, because machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonasan. Rashi says because once you have 10 tefachim, you have a partition, like we said a moment ago. The partition separates, so the window can't help you. Rabbeinu Yonasan says a more practical reason. He says if the window is that high, so the window is not doesn't give you the ability, it's not practical to use it. It's too high, and that's why it can't serve as an opening. Now, the Rama says, when we speak about this window, the Rama says that the window has to be open. Let's say you'll have shutters or anything else obstructing going through the window, then the window will be considered a window. It has to be completely open. The Chazanish says that the Mishnah says that the window's dimensions, we're going to talk about that more in the Gemara soon, has to be dalet al dalet. Let's say you have a window that's not dalet al dalet, it's long and narrow, or wide and short. Chazanish says it has to be dalet al dalet. Missing that dimension, it's not considered a window. And then Amiri asks, there's something very obvious missing from the Mishnah. A door. The Mishnah talks about a window. What about a door? So the Miri says the reason the Mishnah didn't mention a door is because it's obvious. If a window is considered something good enough to connect us, certainly a door is good enough to connect us. But regarding a door, there's an interesting machlokes hapaiskim. What are the dimensions of a door? So the Chai Adam says the dimensions of the door are the same as a window. Dalet al dalet. If you have a door that's dalet, it's considered a door between the two chatzeres. The Mishnah Berura quotes a Rabbeinu Chananel that says no. If you want to consider a door, it has to look like a door. It has to have a tzuras of Pesach. A door is never that small, 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. So if you're going to have a door, it's going to have to be bigger. It's going to have to be 10 tefachim big to be considered a door.
But at least 4 wide.
And 4 wide, but the height, there'll be a big difference. Says the Gemara, we said how big does a window have to be? Dalet al dalet. Now we've mentioned many times as a machloikis tanoim by lovet. What is the size of lovet? Rav Shimon Gamliel says dalet, and the bottom say gimel tefachim. So says the Gemara, leim tanan stan to Rav Shimon Gamliel. She would say to our Mishnah, we have a right to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Domer, kol pox mi dalet, that if the opening is less than dalet, kolove domi. Says the Gemara, feel temkra bonim. You could say our Mishnah goes according to Rabbanim. I can't let plead a labor bond and later Shimon Gamliel. You know when the Rabbanan argue with Shimon Gamliel, Elinian Levudim. What is Lovid? Rabbanan holds 3 tefachim is Lovid, Shimon Gamliel holds 4 tefachim. Elinian Pischa, regarding opening, I feel Rabbanan that say normally Lovid is 3 tefachim, they agree. The equal Dalla Dal Choshev, if you have an opening of Dalla Dal, that's considered a significant opening, and that's considered that that's how the two Chetzeres could be connected. Viloy, but if it's less, like Choshev, it's not significant and it can't connect the Chetzeres. So, the Mishnah at the end of the Mishnah said, Pox mi Dalla Dal, if the window is less than Dalla Dal, or Lamal Meyur, or it's above 10 Tfachim, then it's not considered a way to connect the two Chetzeres, and they have to make their own separate Eruvim. Ask the Gemara Pshita. Why does the Mishnah have to repeat this? Kivin the Omer. Since we began our Mishnah teaching us, Dalet al dalet b'toy chasara, that be considered a window to connect the two chatzeres. You need 2 characteristics. That it be 4 by 4 tefachim, and it be within 10 tefachim. Memela ani yadana. It's obvious that the reverse is not good. That if it's pachs mi dalet, that if it's less than dalet al dalet, or it's lemal miyud, or if it's above 10 tefachim, loy. So what does the Mishnah have to say at the end? The reverse, it's obvious. And we know that the Mishnah, every word is with a cheshbon. Answers the Gemara, Hakamashma. Tama the kula ma'al miyud. You know when the window is disqualified? If the entire window is above 10 tefachim. But what's going to be the halacha? Ava mitzos v'toichyud. If part of the window is within 10 tefachim, not all of it, part of it is within 10 tefachim, then it continues up above 10 tefachim, then the halacha is ma'av m'shnayim. You can make two eruvim, but v'imrotz ma'av m'echad. So the Mishnah is teaching us a very big chiddush, that you don't have to have the whole window within 10 tefachim. Part of the window within 10 tefachim is adequate. Ask Taisus, and I understand why the Mishnah had to repeat the halacha of Pachs Medalar Adalad. Why did the Mishnah have to say l'mal miyud? So Taisus says, once I say this part, so I said the whole din over, but it really wasn't necessary. Says the Gemara, Tanina l'hot t'tan rabbonim. What we're learning, that our Mishnah is teaching us, is actually what a Braisa says explicitly. Because the Braisa says like this, kul l'mal miyud, if most of the windows above 10 tefachim, umuktsos v'toich ha'slara, but part of it is within 10 tefachim. And the Taz says something we spoke about last week. Here the Gemara is using the word kulai, and what does kulai mean here? Raif. So you see that the word kulai can mean raif. Kula b'toichyut, or most of the windows within 10 tefachim, umuktsos l'mal miyud, a part of it is above 10 tefachim, ma'avim shnayim, v'mrotz ma'avim mecha. Ask the Gemara and understand this price. Hashtag kul l'mal miyud. If most of the windows above 10 tefachim, umuktsos v'toichyut, just part of it is below 10 tefachim, amrit ma'arvin shnayim v'mrotz ma'arvin mechad, we say that that's a good enough window to connect the chetzeris. So kul v'toichyut, if most of it was within 10 tefachim, umuktsos l'mal miyud m'boye, so certainly it's good. If most of it is above 10 tefachim, we're saying it's a good connector. Certainly if most of it is below 10 tefachim, it's a good connector. So why did the Mishnah have to say it? Why did Bryce have to say it? Answers the Gemara, Zuve and Tzarchlam Zuktani. You're right. There was no reason for the Braisa to say it, but sometimes, we actually had it as recently as yesterday, when the Gemara has no choice, the Gemara says that the Braisa or the Mishnah teaches us a din, which is obvious. But all the Achroinim explain, we don't do that easily. We prefer not to say such a teretz unless we have to. Now we begin a Gemara with a little math. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Chaloin Ogel. Diagram 245. If you have a window, Tzorach Sheba Akefa, Esim V'Arm V'Tfachim, for the window to be considered a kosher window, a window that can connect two chetzeres, it has to have a circumference of 24 tfachim, v'shnayim mashu men b'toich yud, and two tfachim and a mashu have to be below 10 tfachim, shim yabenu. Because if you're going to go and make a square inside this window, as is shown in this diagram, nimtsu mashu b'toich yud, if you'll have two and a mashu tfachim of the window within 10 tfachim, then you'll know that part of it is below 10 tfachim. Now, the Gemara is going to try to understand why we need such a large circumference of 24 tefachim. Michti. So the Gemara begins with a mathematical statement. Kosh yesh be kefa shlosh tefachim, yesh be barach fa tefach. The Gemara says the relationship between the diameter of a circle and the circumference of a circle is a 3-to-1 ratio. It's not really an exact number, because the ratio is really 3.14 to 1, but the Gemara uses round numbers. So Gemara says that the circumference to diameter is 3-to-1. So ask the Gemara, trace the sagya, should be enough 12. Because let's understand, if you will have a circumference of 12 divided by 3, you'll have 4. Because we said that the circumference is 3 times the diameter. So why do I have to have 24? 12 should be enough. Answers the Gemara, that's fine if I was just looking at a circle. If I'm looking for a circle, the relationship between the circumference and the diameter is 3-to-1. But we in the Mishnah were speaking about a square. Since we're dealing with a square, we need more. Michti, ask the Gemara, kama meruba yesal al eagle. That means if I draw a circle around the square, if I draw a circle around the square, how much more will it be? It's a 4-to-3 ratio. That means what's 3 tefachim in the circle will take 4 tefachim in the area of the square. So ask the Gemara, so good, so you need another quarter. So what do you need? You need another 4. B'shitza sagya, answers the Gemara, Hani mili igula the nafik migurei rebuah. That's if I'm drawing a circle around a square. But what we're doing here is arvua the nafik migurei gula. We're looking as a circle in the square, which is diagram 245, that they put a square into the circle. Now, you need more. Bina tfei, there's a lot of extra space. Why is there a lot of extra space? Mishum mursh de karnasa. What's mursh de karnasa? Mursh de karnasa is whenever we have it right here, the area above the dotted lines. You have an all four sides where the circle protrudes past the dotted lines. You have to take all that area into consideration. Says the Gemara, fine. Michti. So the Gemara again goes back to a mathematical statement. Kol amsa beribua, amsa v'trei chum shebelachsoina. Now the Gemara talks about a square. When you look at a square, let's look at this square that's in this window. The Gemara says a fact. There's the side of a square, which is called the perimeter, and then you have the diagonal of the square. The diagonal of the square is going from, let's say, from the top left to the bottom right. What is the mathematical relationship between the sides of a square and the diagonal of a square? So the Gemara says that the relationship is 1 and 2/5. So now let's figure it out. If we're going to have a square, how big does the square have to be? We said in the Mishnah, dalad by dalad. So if we have a square that's 4 tefachim one side, what is going to be the diagonal of that square? 5.6. Right? Because 4 times 1/2 is 5.6. Now let's say another thing. The diagonal of this square that I'm looking at is also equal to the diameter of the circle. Because if I go from the points that I identified, going from the top left to the bottom right, that line is the diagonal of the square, which is also the diameter of the circle. What do we say is the circumference of a circle? 3 times the diagonal, the diameter. What's 3 times the diameter? 5 times 5 is going to be a little less than 17. So we're still where we are to. The Gemara started that you need 24, we need a little less than 17. Even if you want to build a square of dalad al dalad inside this circle. B'shiva nechzi chum shesagya, 17 minus a fifth should be enough for the for the circumference of the circle. Answers the Gemara. Rabbi Yochan amki deyana de kesri. Rabbi Yochan says the Gemara holds like the deyana de kesri. Vamalei wasn't the yonam de kesri, it was the rabbanon of kesri. The amre gula migoy river, if you build a circle inside a square, it's river, you lose a quarter. That's not the number that's relevant here. Revua migoy gula, palga. If you're going to build a circle around a square, you have to add a half. That means, if you have a circle with a circumference of 16, if you want to have a square inside, you have to add half of the circumference. So you start off with a circle of 16, as the Gemara said on the bottom. Now add half of it, half of 16 is 8. 16 plus 8 equals 24. Now the obvious question is, this is mathematically incorrect. Because we just proved that a circle with a little less than 17 will easily hold a square of dalad al dalad in it. So what do we do with the Dayan and the Beit Kisri? So one pshat that the Rishonim say is they were wrong. They were just wrong. And Rabbi Yochanan learned them incorrectly. If they were wrong, and Rabbi Yochanan passed like them who continued on the wrong psak. And we, of course, don't pass them that way because it's mathematically incorrect. Another pshat that I saw is as follows. Of course, the Dayanah de Beit Kisrei understand the mathematical facts. And that the mathematical facts are that to have a circle with a square of dalad al dalad, you only need a circumference of a little less than 17. But they wanted to be machm. And they wanted a larger circumference. They knew if you have a circumference of 24 tefachim, you're safe. Certainly you don't need all that much. If you have a little less than 17, you're safe. But the way they wanted to make sure that nobody will ever come up to have a circle that's too small, they went and said, let's have a circle that's 1.5 times the amount that we really need. Like that we know that we'll be safe and that the window will be big enough. But Avada, mathematically, they agree that that's good enough. Tysus has a whole different shot where he says that they're speaking about a specific situation where this is mathematically correct, and Rabbi Yochanan misinterpreted and applied their statement to the wrong situation.